Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This podcast may contain adult themes, strong language, and stupid health advice. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to In Bad Taste, where we cast a critical eye over health documentaries and the claims they make. I am your host, registered nutritionist Pixie Turner.
And I'm your other host, cardiothoracic surgeon Dr. Nikki Stamp. Now, it's a new month, which means it's a new film, and accidentally we're sticking with our Australian films because this month we're looking at That Sugar Film, which sets out to blame sugar for pretty much all the world's problems.
Over the course of the next four episodes, we're going to look at possibly the first film we've watched that hasn't been so offensive as to claim that it can cure cancer. Mm-hmm. And we're going to discuss what they got right and what they got wrong.
Yeah, sugar started getting a really bad reputation around 6 or 7 years ago, and it came very on trend, very popular to cut out all sugar from your diet and do things like the I Quit Sugar Plan, which was absolute nonsense.
Oh, I remember that one. Mm-hmm. I remember that one. Mm-hmm. Yep. And there, you know, there was a whole proliferation of things like rice malt syrup, which I definitely promoted at one point.
I had some.
You know, these kind of things that were pretending to be not sugar and therefore healthy, but actually still just sugar. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's see what the hell this film is on about.
Okay, so this film, as we've already said, is Australian, and it's made by a guy called Damien Gameau, and like you obviously wouldn't recognize him. I recognize
him. Absolutely no fucking clue who this guy is.
So he was in a show, the thing I remember him from the most is from a show called Underbelly, and if you are outside of Australia, PC, you should definitely watch this. It's so worth watching. There's a few, the first three seasons are amazing. It's about like organized crime in Australia, and it's like, it's actually really good. But anyway, he was in one of, I think he was in the second or third series of that, so I'm like, the guy from Underbelly. But it also features his wife, who is also an actor, Zoe Tuckwell-Smith, and it was made in 2014 and remains the highest grossing Australia New Zealand documentary ever made.
Really?
Because I think, like, you know, as I said, it came out at the time when people were interested in sugar and how naughty or whatever it was. So he decided to make this film because there's so much debate, it's hard to know what to believe. I'm like, yes, I agree, but making a documentary isn't normally the way that you solve such a problem. Am I off track there, or am I...
I think you make a good point that a kind of a biased documentary with that's focused on one person and their individual journey and using themselves as a case study is not necessarily the most academic way of going about it.
No, exactly. So he's also written and produced a second documentary called 2040, which he wrote for his small daughter on what the world would be like if climate change went unchecked. And apparently that's been quite well received. I haven't seen it, but I did have this question, like, because do you think, you know, the way we feel about health documentaries, do other scientists feel the same about documentaries in their field? I need to know the answer to this.
I reckon... probably.
Yeah.
Especially because I just saw a tweet this morning from an astrophysicist complaining about a very well-known astrophysicist who gets to talk all about astrophysics on TV all the time, even though this person often gets stuff wrong. And I was like, you know what? I think we all feel this way.
Okay, good to know. All right. If you are a climate scientist who has seen 2040 and you have an opinion, Tell us, please. Anyway, to the best of my knowledge, neither Damon or his wife have any nutrition or health qualifications. They don't even have unreputable ones. They're just...
The bar is so low.
But I don't know what's worse, having a crappy health qualification or not having one at all. I don't know. Anyway, the film was really successful, as I've already said, but it also spawned like a whole host of spin-off products, including That Sugar Book, which was a bestseller, and That Sugar Movement, which is an online program where on their website they claim more than 60% of individuals were motivated to reduce sugar intake after watching That Sugar film compared to 2% from advice from doctors, which is a stupid statistic because what did they like? Sample every single person who has ever seen That Sugar film, or was it 10 people mm-hmm. or was it 100 people, and what were their doctors told them? It's like, you know, it's like the face cream equivalent of 9 out of 10 women saw a significant difference after 6 weeks, you know. It's like, it's just bollocks. It makes no sense. So anyway, it's pretending to be science. And their program, I found this really annoying. You pay $79 for some stuff to help you cut out hidden sugars for less than a daily coffee splurge. Why do they always compare it to coffee? And leave you feeling great. And I found this website really annoying because on their FAQ section, the answer to pretty much every question is, you can find this out in our program. I was like, ew.
Can you though? Can you actually? Or do they really mean, if you watch our program, you'll find a talking head spouting some shit about this, and mm-hmm. we are not here to verify if it's right or wrong because it fits our narrative so beautifully well.
Yeah.
But having said that, their effects that they use mm-hmm. are really cool. Okay.
Yeah.
At the start of this movie, I was like, okay, I'm actually quite enjoying this. They had some really cool effects, and I really enjoyed that they had all these various so-called experts. Mm-hmm. They just literally took their heads and put them on like bags of sugar and bottles of juice.
Yeah.
You'd see their name appearing instead of a brand name. And I was like, that's really clever.
It's cool, hey?
That's really cool. And then they put this guy on stage and I was like, is that Hugh Jackman? Apparently it wasn't Hugh Jackman. So apparently I was really paying attention there.
I think it was Hugh Jackman. I'm pretty
was
sure.
Was it? Because they didn't mention him in the credits.
Stephen Fry was in it.
That's the thing is I was looking in the credits because it said mentioned Stephen Fry, but...
I'm checking.
It definitely didn't mention Hugh Jackman, and I was like, "Oh my god, did I think that was Hugh Jackman when it's not?"
I'm sure it was Hugh Jackman. Yes, yes, yes. He was in. According to IMDb, Internet Movie Database, Hugh Jackman makes an appearance. So you were right.
I was right. The credits were wrong. Fuck you, credits. Pixie yeah. 1, credits 0.
Anyway, yeah, look, I'm the same. I thought it was a bit more engaging than a lot of other films that we've watched. So, I mean, that was a good thing because it didn't feel like, you know, tearing my eyeballs out after 30 minutes from boredom/confusion. But anyway, as I've already said, it's all about sugar. I mean, the title sort of gives it away. So Hugh Jackman and Stephen Fry appear in this film purely to explain sugar. And I don't think they do, no offense, I don't think they do a particularly good job of explaining sugar and what happens to it in our bodies.
No, because they went for some kind of nursery rhyme situation, mm-hmm. which is great, except that you are very limited in the words you can use to make everything rhyme, and it therefore leaves you potentially in a scientifically dubious arena mm-hmm. because rhyme matters more than accuracy. So I suppose before we kind of really get into what actually happens during this documentary, maybe let's just correct them on mm-hmm. what actually sugar is.
Yes.
And give I love that I'm about to say the sentence. Let's give a better explanation than Stephen Fry.
Ooh. Ooh, savage. Oh. Okay. Tell me. It's very true. Yes.
Okay. So sugar is essentially a form of carbohydrate. Carbohydrate meaning carbons that are hydrated. You've got carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen, and that pretty much makes sugar carbohydrates. Sugar are simple carbohydrates. So whereas complex carbohydrates would be your kind of long chains of glucose that you find in things that are starchy, that's why they taste completely different. Sugar is more things like mono and disaccharides, which is either single sugars or two sugars joined together to make another sugar. Mm-hmm. If you're not with me, you're about to be. It's all good. So we've got glucose, We all know what glucose is. We've all heard of glucose.
Mm-hmm.
Glucose is the thing that's found in fruits, vegetables, grains, legumes. It's also found in those long chains of starch, which I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And glucose tends to be used as immediate fuel. It's the thing that every single one of our cells can use and can convert into energy, all great stuff. Or if there's enough of it, then it's sometimes stored as glycogen in places like your muscles and your liver. Then we have fructose, which according to this movie is the bad guy. And that is generally found in fruits and vegetables, especially in fruit, which is where the name comes from. And it's seen as the bad guy in this movie, unless it's in whole fruit, in which case it's totally okay because nature. That's the argument I understood there. When you put one glucose and one fructose together and stick them together so they're stuck to each other, then you get sucrose. And if you're not familiar with sucrose, it's the shit that you put in your tea, your coffee, you use in baking,
mm-hmm.
anything like that. Basically, it's the beautiful white or brown granular stuff mm-hmm. that makes everything taste really fucking good. So when you start eating sugar or sucrose, what happens is that your body immediately splits it in half. It immediately splits it so that the glucose and the fructose are separate. And then they behave slightly differently in the body because they're slightly different things. So glucose is metabolized throughout the body, whereas fructose is almost completely metabolized by the liver or in the liver. And this is very much what this movie latches onto. They make a claim that it's basically all turned into fat, which is not necessarily true. In kind of normal human conditions, generally about 25% is converted to lactic acid,
mm-hmm.
around 30 to 50% is converted to glucose, and around 15% is converted to glycogen, and usually less than 1% is actually converted to fat in your body. Now, that's under kind of normal conditions. If you are eating a large energy excess,
mm-hmm.
at that point, you're going to have potentially more of it turned into fat, but they conveniently leave out that idea that if you're kind of eating in a way that works with your body, with hunger and fullness, not too much, not too little kind of scenario for you, that fructose is not going to just magically turn into mountains of fat in your body, because that's not how that works.
Yeah, I think that was really good. I think that they've latched onto one idea, which has like merit, but they just go with sugar is bad, fructose is bad, just cause. You know, that's the kind of explanation, the level of explanation, just cause. And you don't get the nuance, you don't get the, but also, you know, if you eat a ton of saturated fat, you also mm-hmm. have that turned into, fat storage and, you know, cholesterol, all those kinds of things. Anyway, basically, I think that they've completely missed a nuance, which, look, I mean, I know we always say this. We know that this is a film. They've got a limited time to say that. But I think when they miss the nuance, and in missing that point, they turn it into this big, scary, like wildebeest that it's not, that's when that thinking is problematic. But anyway, we have some experts. So we've got David Gillespie, and a lot of people would be familiar with him. David Gillespie is another Australian, well, they're all Australian people because it's an Australian film. David Gillespie is an Australian author. He's best known for his book Sweet Poison, and he recently wrote one on psychopaths, which apparently is actually quite good, I've heard. But he used to be a lawyer.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wait, I've just realized I've read his book.
Sweet Poison?
Yeah, I read it years and years ago, back Same. In my wellness wanker days. Yeah. I read it. It was scary.
It's scary. It's well written. Like, he's actually got, one of the things I like about him is I've had some interactions with him online, and maybe this is a throwback to him being a lawyer, is that he is not aggressive towards other people like some other unnamed wellness wankers can be, right? Like, you can say yep. like you can say to him, listen, I disagree with you like that, and you know, you can have a back and forth, and he'll just be like, we agree to disagree. And I'm like, that's so refreshing. And I also think he's very good. He's got his finger on the pulse. He's like that. But that being said, just because I've said that he has, you know, done some things well, I don't know, like about non-health people writing health books. Like, that's my concern. I mean, he's acting in that way in both of those books as kind of like a journalist, like someone exploring it and taking us on a journey with them to discover the story. But I think that, you know, sometimes those stories are best left explored by the people who know what they're talking about. That's just my two cents worth. We've got Dr. Ken Sakaris, who's a chemical pathologist. So that's a doctor who is, like, you know, concerned with how we measure things in the body and how, you know, they're influenced by different factors. So he's very, very well respected. He has an interest in cholesterol. He pops up quite a bit in low carb groups as a speaker or whatever. But I have to say, from what I've read, it's very unclear what his personal beliefs are. I don't know if he's so I don't know. But you know, his job is to read the numbers. We've got Sharon Johnson, who is a nutritionist. Her website calls her a naturopath, and she does have a genuine degree from a university in the UK. She also has a degree in naturopathy from, and I'm not going to name them, from a college in Australia, which is well known to be problematic and has been sanctioned in the past for not producing graduates who meet the standards for registration, etc. And she doesn't seem to hold any professional registration as a nutritionist or a dietitian. So, and why is that important? Because when you hold professional registration, you have to meet certain standards. Again,
accountability.
Woo, we like that. But again, like, I couldn't really find that she is, you know, super hardcore into one tribe or another. We've got Dr. Deborah Herbst, who is a GP. Now, she does seem to be aligned with a low carb kind of way of thinking. I can't find that she has any qualifications in nutrition whatsoever. But that's all. That's all I found. And I think that this show or this film rarely talks about their qualifications. They just get cool nicknames like Professor Blood and stuff like that, which is really cute. It's really cute and engaging, but, you know, it doesn't tell us whether or not they're appropriately qualified to give their opinion. And I think that annoys me.
Yeah, it's the kind of, don't worry, we've covered it. You don't worry about it. We're good. Trust us. It's all fine. It's like, no, let's start from a position of I don't fucking trust you. And let's take it from there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you have to prove to me that what you say is legit. So, you know, they spend a lot of time making claims about basically that we're all drowning in sugar and it's killing us. And when they said it, it sounds like so impressive. They say things like Australians eat 40 teaspoons of sugar every day, and you're like, oh my god. That's outrageous. And then, you know, it's just so much sugar. And when you stop to think about what that actually entails, I think they are getting this. Well, I know they're getting their statistics wrong.
Yeah. I mean, they illustrate it beautifully. They have this lovely image of a family sitting around a dinner table, just eating, just spooning bags of sugar. Literally, it's a nice image, but it's obviously not what anyone is doing. I don't even remember doing that as a child. I know this is a total tangent, but I don't even remember spooning sugar as a child. I ate a few sugar cubes when they were hard, like really like big sugar crystals, like none of these like just like compressed granules, but like the proper crystals. But I don't remember ever spooning
the brown ones. You get like brown sugar cubes. They're so tasty because they're kind of molassesy and stuff as well. Tasty.
Yes. Now, obviously, this is an Australian documentary, so I don't know about the Australian statistics. I kind of left that part to you, but I looked at the UK statistics to have a look and see.
Let's swap. And I have Australian statistics and you have UK ones. Let's swap.
Yeah, okay.
This is very fun.
So apparently the annual sugar consumption in the UK peaked several decades ago. So we're definitely not at maximum sugar consumption at the moment. And at that point, it was 50 kilograms per person per year. And at the moment, we are less than 40 kilograms per person per year. Now, I'm aware that still sounds like a lot. But today, actually, people in the UK consume less sugar per head than we did in like the 1900s. And it was really difficult to find up-to-date statistics on this. So the most recent ones I could find are a couple of years old. And at that point, it says the average UK adult was eating 58.8 grams of sugar per day, which is 11 to 12 teaspoons per day.
Yeah.
Which is actually nowhere near the 40 this guy is doing. And just as a comparison, the NHS guidelines say that adults should consume a maximum of 30 grams of sugar per day, which is the equivalent of 7 teaspoons. So, you know, we are over.
Yeah.
But not by like, it's not like seven, it should be seven and it's actually at 40. Like that's huge.
Yeah. So it's interesting. The numbers are almost identical here. So again, sugar, this is from the Australian Bureau of Statistics. So sugar consumption has declined predominantly, and I think this is a good thing, in children. And I think that's a good thing for a wide variety of reasons, because I think it might mean that we're getting some control on marketing and dental health, all those things that we'll come to later. But sugar consumption has declined. So the amount that average daily intake is 59 grams per day in men, 42 grams per day in women. And the percent energy from added sugars in adults is around 9.4%. Now, why is this important? Because the WHO recommends that no more than 10% of energy comes from sugars. So actually, again, that's all kinds of sugar that's added and intrinsic. But when they work this out, it's about 50 grams for women, 60 grams for men. So we're not as bad as what is sort of being claimed at in this film. Now, obviously, there are going to be people who you know, eat a lot of sugar. But the general population, I don't think that scene where you've got a family of four sitting around eating just bags of sugar is an accurate representation. I think it's put there purely to scare you.
Yeah, and it is a very effective image, isn't it? It's very effective. So what is all of this leading to? In case it wasn't obvious, there's going to be an experiment based on this 40 teaspoon figure. That is definitely going to be a thing that's going to happen. So this guy, what's his name again? Damon? I've forgotten already. Yeah. Okay, Damon. Damon says, the only way to get answers is for me to start eating sugar again, because he's been eating no refined sugar for the past couple of years, because I think because his wife told him to. That's the vibe I got from that. So he says that the only way he can get answers is to start eating sugar again after a couple of years of being completely off the stuff and no refined sugar whatsoever. Unclear what he means by refined sugar, by the way. Unclear. And I'm like, really? That's the only way for you to get answers? You have to do an experiment on yourself and force yourself to eat 40 teaspoons of sugar every day for a number of weeks? That is definitely not the only way to get answers. You could actually just look at all the research, talk to actual experts, by which I mean researchers. But no, apparently that would be really, really boring. So instead, he's going to subject himself to 40 teaspoons of sugar every day for the next couple of weeks and complain the entire way, as if he didn't come up with the whole fucking idea in the first place. Now, don't worry. We are going to spend much more time in the coming weeks talking about these kind of so-called experiments that these documentaries do. For now, just picture this dude eating a fuck ton of sugar, manually calculating how many teaspoons of sugar are in his food and telling it to the camera.
I think him calculating how much he's eating is actually giving him too much credit. Yeah. He goes, it's about 17 teaspoons. And you're like, well, hang on a second. You're measuring it or you're not. Like, which one is it? Like, why don't you, you know, if you're going to do it, at least
do it properly.
He does
this with a low-fat yogurt in particular, and you can see on camera him trying mm-hmm. to work out how much of that is lactose and how much is added sugars. And there's no kind of calculation or anything that he looks at. He just goes, I reckon about this percent of it is lactose, which means the rest of it's added sugar. And I'm like, where is that figure coming from? Like, it may well have come from somebody who's given him some good advice, but how do we know? It just looks like he's making shit up, which is not helping in terms of making this look like a rigorous scientific project, which obviously it's not. But that's how they want it to look.
It's not. No, absolutely. So yeah, it's questionable. All right, we're going into this questionably, I think is the word I'm looking for. He's not going to do real science, and along the way we get, you know, the usual, it is just the usual trope of these kind of films about things that are making us unhealthy. And of course we have to mention that people are getting sicker because of the dietary guidelines, because we're following the dietary guidelines and people are getting sicker because of the dietary guidelines. And I'm so sick of these films, or just people in general saying this, because we have a repeat of Ansel Keys, yes, of the Seven Nations study, which listened to one of our previous episodes.
Last month.
You know, Ansel Keys basically discovered the link between saturated fat and cardiovascular disease. For some reason, everyone's got it out for him. It's not true. So, you know, I think what the film is driving at is to move towards a diet that is much higher in fat than in carbohydrates and sugar. But look, this idea that people are getting sicker because of the dietary guidelines has genuinely been debunked. And there's actually a really recent article published in the Journal of Nutrition which looked at something called the Healthy Eating Index, which basically uses food surveys to give people's diet a score between 0 and 100. And this include getting how much calories they were getting from foods with low nutritional value, alcohol, sugar, whatever. But no judgment, all right? If you so desire a glass of alcohol or a donut, which always seems to be the angry food of the time, that's okay. Anyway, this study had over 15,000 participants, and they basically classified people into four groups from best to worst score on this eating inventory. And the whether or not the score was good was based on dietary guidelines. So the people who had a diet that was most consistent with the dietary guidelines had a lower incidence of cardiovascular disease and death. So
okay.
Dietary guidelines, good. Janky films, bad. Yeah, so, you know, I'm not 100% sure. It's not quite the tin foil hat wearing of the magic pill, but I don't quite understand why this conspiracy theory really persists in so many of these films, or people who have really strong dietary opinions.
Yeah, and why do we always have to pit carbs versus fat in these documentaries? It's always carbs versus fat. Because in order to really kind of do this experiment that this guy's doing is based on the idea that our dietary guidelines say we should be eating low-fat products, and there are loads of hidden sugars in these low-fat products. And so I'm going to go and eat 40 teaspoons of sugar every day without actually eating any ice cream or chocolate or any kind of desserts. In other words, he's going purely for so-called hidden sugars. And in order to really promote that, we have to shit on low-fat diets, which means we have to shit on dietary guidelines, because apparently our dietary guidelines say to eat low-fat when they actually don't do that. So
no, they're much more nuanced and have specific guidance about how much fat and what types of fat. You know, it's not just eat all the fat. It's just it's really not accurate what they're saying. And I don't understand.
I'm going to call this the single nutrient fallacy from now on, because it's a classic fallacy maybe someone's already come up with it. But if not, I claim this as my invention. The single nutrient fallacy that either says that sugar is to blame for everything, carbs are to blame for everything, fat is to blame for everything. Pick your target. and stick with it, and you've got the makings of a likely successful documentary that's full of shit. Oh, there's no nuance. Where is the nuance? To be fair, there is a tiny bit of nuance here and there in this movie, but we just haven't come to it yet.
Yes, yes. Look, you know, I don't think I want to sort of say this because I know people will jump down our throats. We're not saying that sugar is all good. Like, we don't tend to say that any food is all good or all bad, unless you're putting cyanide in your food. I think we would probably agree that that's bad as a food. But we're not saying that. But I just think that the way that this film talks about sugar, it's not giving you the whole story. It's really cherry picking data to blame sugar for everything. And I think when you go down what is now known as the single nutrient fallacy pathway, that you miss out on looking at some of the negatives against the nutrient that you are promoting. So fat, for example, you know, I just think that they really mess up. But we're not saying that, you know, that sugar is fine and you can, if you so desire, eat your dinner from a bag of table sugar. You know, obviously we're not idiots. But I just think there's a lot of lack of nuance. And we're gonna pick it apart because actually this film was a lot easier to sort of investigate the claims that they're making because they kind of stick to one line rather than jump all over the place, which hurts my brain. So thanks, Damon.
Yeah, this was arguably one of the more enjoyable ones to watch because I wasn't tearing my hair out every 5 seconds.
I know, same. All right, well, anyway, we will be back next week to discuss whether or not sugar is actually poison and talk about some of, I know, I use the P word. We're going to talk about whether it's poisonous, you know, if it makes you gain weight, if it makes you run around in your undies, because there's a lot of running around in your undies.
Way too much. We did not need to see this guy's belly that much.
Way too much, right? No. No, we don't. No. Keep it away. So, yes, come back next week. And please, in the meantime, don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating because that's how people will find us. Tell your mates, subscribe, all those good things. Now, if you have questions or comments, particularly if you're a climate scientist and you have seen a climate science documentary, please let us know. Or any other scientists for that matter. We're not picky. But email us inbadtastepodcast@gmail.com. We love hearing from you, so don't forget to drop us a line. As always, come and see us on our socials. Pixie is at Pixie Nutrition and I am at Dr. Nikki Stamp. I was going to say we don't love hearing from spam. We're still getting spammed in our email.
Oh, well.
Like, don't spam
us.
Is it
any good spam?
Stop it. We're not interested in what you're selling. Oh. Nah, it's rubbish. Okay. Nah, it's rubbish. It's almost always addressed to you. I don't know why, but congratulations. Ooh. You're being spammed.
How interesting. Maybe it's because my name comes first on the in the notes.
I think so. That's sad for you. Aww. You're getting spammed and I'm getting off scot-free. Anyway, we will leave you references and links in the show notes below.
Well, come back next week for some countering some sugar bashing, I guess. Same old. We'll see you there. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.